we've been talking a little bit about freight here in the context of freight hubs, but of course the freight's got to get there, and it often gets in and out of freight hubs by truck. Of course, we wonder what it's like, I think, from time to time to be in the cab of one of those long-haul trucks. What's that life like? A lot of questions get asked about truckies and whether they're responsible drivers. I'm sure lots of them are, but the questions get asked, of course, particularly when there are accidents. How do they meet their tight deadlines? Negotiating, you know, city traffic and impatient drivers or P-platers jumping out in front of them unanticipated. You know, dealing with horror stretches of country roads. It's a life that I think gets us asking a lot of questions a lot of the time. Well, Dr. Jan Karp is a lecturer in criminology at the University of New England, and she spent 2 years on and off travelling with truckies, talking to them, finding out what's behind their life, what their stories are, and she's written a manuscript about her travels called Conversations with Truckies, looking at life through glass. It is a very interesting area of research and one that I'm sure excites a lot of views. We'll get her on the line in just a moment. I'm just waiting to see what line she's there on. But Jan's insights, I'm sure, will fill in a few of the gaps that some of us have when we look at those look up at those big trucks. Jan, thanks very much for your time this morning.
Yes, good morning, Linda.
Now, why did you decide to do this?
Well, I'm a working class girl, and I've a hardworking class girl, like a lot of people, and I have the ability to write. I'm educated, and so I went out on the road and felt these men needed a voice, and that's literally how the book's written. Mm. It's their voices with some of my interpretation running through it.
Mm. Now, when you say you're a working class girl, you mean have you got truckies in your family?
I don't, but I'm Western Sydney. I'm Penrith High School, and then worked as a police officer for 23 years, and then retired, and I have a PhD in a different area. And so you have that lovely mix that a lot of people have of having worked in different areas with an education.
So how did you convince truckies to let you into the cab with them?
Well, you do actually have to convince them, and
it's sacred territory, isn't it?
It's very sacred, but that's the attitude that I arrived with, and that means that when you become frustrated or cranky, you've actually got to wait. And I have a clear experience of that. I was out west, and it was a very cold morning, sitting in my car waiting to get into a truck, and you know, this big bloke sort of walked over to his truck, and he's fiddling around and mucking around, and I'm in my car with the heater on, and I'm thinking, why are we waiting? And I thought, be polite and wait. Anyway, so finally I got out and I said, can we go yet? And he said, no. And it was like 6:30, and he said, I can leave at 7. And I said, so is this the regulations? And he said, yes. So basically he was being controlled to that minimal degree around whether or not he could start work.
Mm. Now, what did you find out? I mean, 2 years on and off?
The whole project took about 4 to write up, including. Look, I think I'd like to say, just at the outset, 2 stories, if that's all right.
Yeah, sure.
One reason why I think these men drive is it's a beautiful country. I distinctly remember one morning being in a truck driving north, and I literally had the sun rising in front of me, and when I turned around, I had the moon sort of setting at the back. And so you had these beautiful images, and it is quite meditative, especially at night. You know, when you're going up the highway, it's quiet, and you sort of chug along.
Mm.
But of course, the opposing experiences, some of them were very, very sad, and I don't know if you want to hear one of those.
Well, do tell us the sad one, yes.
Well, I was on my way to do an interview, and I was in a washroom, and a truckie's wife had come in. She was on the road with her husband, and she more or less insisted that I speak to her husband. And I went and had a cup of tea with them. And he spoke, she did not, and he told me he'd retired and put his son in the business, and his son had lost the power steering in his truck going down a hill and had died as a result of mechanical failure.
Mm.
And that the grief that they both experienced for a year and a half sitting at home was resolved by them driving their truck.
Wow, extraordinary, intense, yeah. Intense. So really the truck driving experience in that case being deeply interwoven in the whole family.
Absolutely. There were also, of course, boys who had died, or young men who had died, as a result of speed, and that is a combination of drug taking and speed in a truck.
I was going to ask you about drug taking, actually, because it's the thing that comes up. What do they say to you about that?
They say it's a problem. Mm. There is no one that said to me at any point in my adventures that amphetamine use, and that's the problem with the word. We have amphetamine and we have speed as a colloquial word, but it does not necessarily mean that guys who amphetamine affected speed, as in drive fast. Mm. Some of them use it just for a sense of anticipatory, I'm going to make it. You know, I'm going to get there on time. And it becomes a habitual thing that assists the style of work that they're doing.
Mm. Because they're subject to very tight deadlines across huge distances, aren't they?
Yes, and, you know, the distance, for example, from Sydney to Perth involves 48 hours worth of driving. Mm. You know, and so, you know, from Sydney to Brisbane, you're looking at 12. Mm. You know, Sydney to Melbourne, 10 and a half. And these are hours where the men are concentrating. They're going through different seasons. They might start in a cold climate in Melbourne and end up in a hot climate in Brisbane, and all the traffic and conditions that occur on that trip, as well as fatigue and all the other associated issues, which might just be a call from the wife to say, you know, their son or daughter is in trouble.
Mm. So is drug use then considered an essential part of the job?
I think that it is definitely not considered an essential part of the job. Sorry, drug taking is viewed by many as the sort of question is, why do they do it?
Mm.
You know, and you will hear stories of men who would never have considered using it who slowly become introduced to it.
Mm.
And then, of course, it becomes habitual. So the way of living is to take the drug to help you do the work, but you will have older men who have actually maybe been down that track and come out of it who will then say they do not need to do this.
Mm. Now, what about the commercial pressures they experience? You know, we're talking very big companies,
sure,
lots of dollars at stake to get, you know, those goods on the shelf at the supermarkets or whatever it is. How much pressure do they experience from their employers, I suppose?
Well, I think I'd like to start with the economics of the situation, which is that a driver, not an owner driver, but a driver, the minimum amount you can pay a grade 7 driver is about $26 an hour. Now, the award wage, which has just been modernised, which means it's a federal award, is about $740 a week.
Mm.
So that means someone can drive these trucks for $740 a week, and then you take out a home, you know, house mortgage payment or children's expenses, and you're in a lot of trouble.
Mm.
So there's that pressure, and I think that has a big contributing factor to it.
Mm. So they're simply not paid enough.
No, and I mean, legislation has recently been passed,
yes,
to address this. But I mean, the other issue which I think is worth noting is that you have companies, but you also have logistic operators and managers on the ground organising these trucks. And so one fellow quite happily had his 12-hour shift sorted. He knew where he was going to rest. He became tired. He stopped and started to sleep. Now he's GPS tracked. So his truck stopped, the manager saw the truck was stopped and rang him and said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm tired, I'm having a sleep. And he went, well, if you can actually just get there a bit earlier, we can get the load loaded up sooner.
Mm.
And that is not fair.
Mm. So did you identify that logistics companies are a particular problem in this regard?
It's the same thing that you find in all research. You will have politicians and public servants with certain opinions and then certain policies and then certain legislation. Now, in terms of legislating trucks, we have camera-to-camera watching, we have GPS and we have logbooks, three forms of regulation.
Mm.
Now, try that in any occupation. Try it as a doctor, try it as a journalist, try it as an academic, and be accountable for distances that involve 18 hours worth of work, and try not slipping up or making a mistake in that area.
Mm. Fascinating stuff. Just touched the tip of the iceberg really with you. Where can people read Conversations with Truckies, Jen?
It's in manuscript form. I'm looking for a publisher.
Okay.
I've had requests for the document, so if anyone's interested out there in helping me get this out, that would be great.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for your time, Jen.
Thank you.